I will see you there.
Izzy in here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark.
And you can join us online. FreeTalkLive.com is the place to go. The features on the site for free, so enjoy those on us. That again, FreeTalkLive.com. On the way here, we'll find out what happens when you look to the government to keep you safe, you know, from nuclear weapons and big scary things like that. But first, we're going to the phones, the Amplifier Line, and Brad in New Hampshire. Brad, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello.
Hey. Hey, Ian, Wayne, and Mark. What's up, guys?
Hey. Just another day in paradise. What's on your mind, Brad?
Yes, sir. Well, actually, two things. I just went with my girlfriend to Murphy's Tap Room in Manchester, an establishment owned by Keith, one of the Free Staters.
Yes.
And I just had a remarkable dinner there, and I would encourage anyone to go there and try it out, the food there.
If you're in New Hampshire, then there's no better reason to... going to have to put you on hold there for a moment. I'm having some trouble with your line, and I'm not sure what that is. But if you're in New Hampshire, Murphy's Tap Room is a fine excuse to go and spend some money with a Free State-owned business.
If you people don't stop, I'm going to send him a bill.
Who, Murphy?
Yes.
From the Tap Room?
Yes.
What do you mean?
This is a for-profit radio show here. You keep on dropping this guy's name.
We haven't kept on dropping his name.
It was very nice.
We went there and had a very nice hamburger.
It was very good. I have to agree.
Anyway, let's go back to Brad to see if we got a clearer line here at this point. Brad, you're back.
Oh, that's much better.
Yes. So go ahead. What was on your mind tonight?
So anyway, as my girlfriend and I were driving there, we were listening to your show from last night, speaking of jury nullification. And I personally, I'm a supporter of the concept because I believe very much that, you know, the spirit of the law and, you know, it is sort of the last great check we have on the government. Is the line breaking out again?
I don't know. Are you on a landline?
Nope, on a cell phone.
Okay, that's probably something on my end, and I apologize. I want to put you back on hold till I figure out what the hell that problem is, because that's a new one. Anyway.
I hope it's not us.
Jury nullification. We want to talk about that. Well, that's okay, because I actually had something in regards to jury nullification, an email to talk about here shortly, and we will get to that. We'll go ahead and try Brad back here in a little bit. But just to fill you in on the latest news here, this is one of the big stories of the day. Normally we don't hit the big stories of the day, but this one I thought was worth it. The nuke story.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I've got it on a different... I didn't tell you about it, but I do have the same story.
Nuclear bombs mistakenly flown over the United States. Oopsie! Oh, wait. Apparently those silly guys in Washington, D.C., they... According to the AP, a B-52 bomber was mistakenly armed with six, not just one, but six nuclear warheads and flown for more than 3 hours across several states last week.
Probably. Each one of those warheads has a yield of 5 to 150 kilotons.
Oh, well, boss, we forgot. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
One kiloton sounds bad enough.
Yes.
Anyway, counting?
I imagine that the reason they have this rule is, well, every once in a while planes go down.
Yeah.
And if the plane went down with some nuclear weapons, six of them, on its wings, you'd have some radiation problems, and there's this, you know, one in a million chance, or maybe one in a billion, I don't know what the chances are, that it could actually explode. And then you've got a Hiroshima kind of situation going, and that's not good.
The incident was so serious that President Bush and the Defense Secretary were quickly informed, and he asked for daily briefings. And then he said that one of them said there was at no time was the public in danger. Okay. Well, yeah, you guys tell the truth so often. Oh, I surely believe you on this one.
I'm not sure that I think that the public was in terrible danger. You know, every day you walk outside, you have a better chance of getting hit by a bus than this plane going down and its all six of its nuclear weapons blowing up.
Well, anyway, I just figured that it was important to point that out because people seem to think that one of the responsibilities of government is to keep them safe. A lot of even the small government people think that it's the government's responsibility to protect
right.
us.
One of the things that's said about the Second Amendment is, well, you know, it, to some extent it's subjective. We wouldn't want everyone having nuclear weapons, would we? With the implication being that if everyone had nuclear weapons, not everyone, but the people that could afford them, there would be mistakes and accidents would happen. People would get hurt. Well, look.
Yeah.
The government has them, and they're making mistakes.
Yeah, the implication is that the government can handle big, scary weapons, but you little people can't. And it's clear that the government can't handle these things. They're very slipshod. They, you know, they make mistakes just like anybody else does. And the problem is when a government makes a mistake, they, you and I pay the price. They never have to pay the price. The bureaucrats who decided, okay, yeah, so they fired a bureaucrat in this case, whoopee-doo. But in most cases, when a government bureaucrat does something wrong, he's usually just given a little slap on the hand, maybe a transfer to a different department, everything's sort of brushed under the rug, and maybe the government might pay out a little bit of cash to the harmed families to sort of make the problem go away, but even that hardly ever happens. And there's nothing you can do. The government bureaucrats have what they call sovereign immunity, where they can pretty much do whatever they want and cause whatever damage that they negligently cause and really face no consequences.
Right, and
certainly not the consequences we would face for doing the same thing.
And when you face no consequences, or in this case, you don't face any personal consequences, the guy who put the nuclear weapons on, he got fired, but he doesn't have to shell out of his pocket. That's the worst case scenario, is he loses his job. When and mostly government bureaucrats have no consequences at all. They will pay vacation and then they're back on duty, or they've been reprimanded or something like that. But when you don't have consequences, it causes a person to act, you know, irresponsibly,
carelessly.
Sure. They don't have anything to lose.
In many cases, we've seen stories where government bureaucrats will be fired for a good reason. In many cases, and then later on, they'll sue to get their job back, because when you're a government bureaucrat, it's different from being a regular worker, where the business owner is in control of whether or not you get to work. In this case, with government bureaucracy, you apparently have a right to your government job once you've worked there for a certain amount of time.
Mm.
And that means you have a right to take the government to court and try to get your job back. And the government, in many cases, does allow the reinstatement of these fired government employees, in many cases with the extra slap to the face for the taxpayers of giving them retroactive pay.
It does happen.
You think I'm BSing you, I'm sure. But this is for real. Anyway, let's go back to Brad. He dialed in on the regular call-in line, so hopefully we'll have a clear line this time. Brad in New Hampshire was beginning to tell us a little something about jury nullification.
Oh, that's much better now.
Indeed, sir.
Okay. Anyway, we were listening to your show from last night, and as we were sitting there at Murphy's eating dinner, this thing came on the news speaking about how there was, I believe, a 17-year-old out west. He got caught having a Swiss Army knife in his car on school property, and he has since been arrested for a felony. And I believe the jury nullification concept is very important when laws are applied in a disproportionate, something's disproportionate to the crime, to what happened. I mean,
right,
you could have
a felony, accidentally bringing a Swiss Army knife to school, or even on purpose, is not commensurate with a felony.
Oh, absolutely. And you know that gentleman who was charged, I believe he was 17 years old, and he engaged in sexual activity with, I believe, a 15-year-old, and he got sentenced to a extreme amount of time in prison. And
yeah,
I believe
10
it was
years.
Georgia.
Yep.
It's a far cry from what that deserves, what the conduct deserves. And I believe the jury nullification concept is important in cases like that, where the government overreaches and uses its weight too much.
Exactly. It's one of the ways to keep the government in line. It's the fourth check and balance on the government, the fourth arm, the fourth branch, if you will, that has been completely forgotten about. The judges and the prosecutors, they will get very upset if someone even dares mention jury nullification in the courtroom.
Well, you'll be thrown off a jury a lot of times if you mention it, because in a lot of states it's not legal. And if you bring it up in jury deliberations, and if a judge finds out about it, you can be removed and an alternate used to replace you.
Yep. It's sick.
Also, I heard you guys mention sovereign immunity. There's something that's called qualified immunity, and I've never heard you speak of it on your show. It's actually a doctrine that was created by the Supreme Court. Where
I want you to tell me more about it. Hang on, Brad, in New Hampshire. We'll come back with more with you. I don't know if we can reveal who Brad is. I'll have to ask him if we can. 800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line, because he's got some expertise, as you might be able to tell. We'll come back with more of him and your calls as well. This is your show. It's Free Talk Live.
One day soon, the U.S. dollar, otherwise known as the Federal Reserve Note, will be recognized in the global marketplace for its intrinsic value. Nothing. On that day, you will be bewildered, angry, and impoverished, or you will be calm, confident, and prosperous. The deciding factor between your two possible futures is what you do in this moment. Go to D2Z.org and learn how to survive and thrive during a U.S. dollar crisis. D2Z.org.
George Phillies is the right candidate for president, a serious, well-educated candidate who stands for the basic principles of liberty and the basic principles of this nation. You know the old adage, if you keep doing the same thing, you will get the same results. The choice this election year is simple, more of the same or real change. For peace, prosperity, and liberty, go to www.phillies2008.org.
Paid for by Phillies 2008. This is George Phillies, libertarian for president. I approved of this message.
Ted Anderson provided September 5th, 2007 gold 680 70 ounce gold coins to be purchased for $702.47, $346.55 for half, $173.28 for quarters. That's $702.47, $346.55, and $173.28.
The Chinese government has begun a campaign of economic threats against the U.S., hinting liquidation of its vast holdings of U.S. treasuries, responding to Washington's trade sanctions, forcing the Yuan Revolution. Communist Party bodies are warning that Beijing may use its 1.33 trillion reserves as a political weapon, causing bond yields to spike, hammering the U.S. housing market and throwing the economy into a recession. Russia, Switzerland, and several other countries have reduced their holdings due to this threat. Economist Ambrose Evans Pritchard published the report, China Threatens Nuclear Option of Dollar Sales. Call for the report today, 800-686-2237. The value of your hard-earned money is being lost in the global game of chess. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened. What happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word, monastery, is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
This is Jack Blood with the Genesis Radio Network, and I have an urgent message for our listeners. The mass media keeps telling us that we are the richest, most powerful economy in the world. If this is true, why can't we pay our bills? Why is the United States the world's largest debtor nation? The truth is that we are in the worst debt bubble in our nation's history. When the bubble bursts, will you be able to feed your family? When the inevitable crash occurs, will you be ready? Call Whitehurst International at 1-888-892-6238. That's 1-888-892-6238 for the following 2 free reports. U.S. debt bubble red alert and real estate crash. Call 888-8-XANADU. That's 1-888-8-XANADU. Ask for George.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves. The toll-free number is 800-259-9231. Say call CAI toll-free line. That's 800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark. And you can join us online. FreeTalkLive.com is the place to go. The features on the site are for free, so enjoy those on us, including the Shrine of Female Listeners. The dozens and dozens of ladies have sent us their validated photo to prove they listen to the show. You can see what I mean by heading over to shrine.freetalklive.com.
That is shrine.freetalklive.com. And now you can save time and money on common legal matters created by top attorneys. LegalZoom.com helps you create reliable legal documents like setting up a corporation or limited liability company. LegalZoom.com. Use code FTL, like Free Talk Live. That's code FTL to save 10%. That's LegalZoom.com. So we'll go back to Brad in New Hampshire. You're back on Free Talk Live. Now, Brad, you just touched on the concept of sovereign immunity, and you said you wanted to tell us something about a different term. And what was that other term?
The term is qualified immunity.
Qualified immunity. Now, the reason you know so much is because you are involved in the criminal justice profession, so you do have a bit of real-life experience here. What is qualified immunity?
Qualified immunity, essentially, it's a doctrine that was created by the Supreme Court back in 1982. The case was called Harlow versus Fitzgerald. What it does is it shields government employees from actions insofar, and I'm actually reading this right from Wikipedia, that it does not violate clearly established statutory or constitutional rights of which a reasonable person would have known. So as an example, you got a call, I believe it was last week, by a gentleman who had an alarm go off in his neighborhood, and the police came into his house erroneously. Mm. I believe the gentleman, he was going to move to New Hampshire, but he got hurt, so he's taking some time off.
Okay, right.
Although the police went into the wrong house, and technically that would be a violation of his rights, you cannot sue them because of the qualified immunity doctrine, because they were acting reasonably. So if even if your rights are violated, there are a lot of times where you simply can't sue for a violation of your federal constitutional rights if the police are acting pursuant to their discretionary job function.
Right, whereas anybody else who would break and enter into your home would be in big trouble.
Right, well, I mean, the doctrine is to prevent, I mean, because if it wasn't for this, essentially, police departments couldn't do their job. I mean, there would be a slew of lawsuits that would make it past summary judgment, and there would be juries hearing all these cases. Of course, you can't sue the state because of the 11th Amendment, but you can sue individual state actors who act in violation of the federal constitution. So I just wanted to bring that up. I've never heard that mentioned on the show before.
That's interesting. You can't sue the state, but the state brings all kinds of lawsuits. Isn't that interesting? It works one way, but it doesn't work the other way?
Well, it's certainly, I'm not an attorney, but I certainly find the whole area of law very interesting, and I would encourage people to study about qualified immunity if, in fact, if they believe their rights have been violated.
Brad, as always, thanks for the expertise and thanks for the call. We appreciate hearing from you, sir.
Yeah, have a good night, guys.
Yes, 800-259-9231. We certainly will. Since we're talking about jury nullification, I have a little story from Frank. He emails in. And this actually isn't him. He's forwarding on an email from somebody I think that he knows. He says, I went to court today wearing my bright yellow T-shirt that says Fully Informed Jury Association on the back of it. I was there to defend myself against a speeding ticket, or as I like to call it, literal armed highway robbery. First of all, they said, oops, we made a mistake on the date. We don't have the jury ready, so you'll have to come back later. Even though the state prosecutor's records had shown I was supposed to appear that day for a jury trial. Well, you know, governments make mistakes, so I guess that's understandable, right? Never mind that I had paid a $36 non-refundable filing fee just to obtain the jury trial. I guess in the country that stands where America used to be, one is guilty until proven innocent and subject to shifting mandates and Kafkaesque obfuscation. The state prosecutor asked the judge, Alan Torhost, for a continuance on my case, basically to have me come back later for my jury trial. I then asked the judge to dismiss the case, since the state wasn't ready. And the police officer that had issued me my speeding ticket hadn't bothered to show up. Of course, the judge didn't want to do this because, well, that would be the moral thing to do. Never mind that the entire case was simple schoolyard bullying from the start. Never mind that I had taken a morning off of work to get to court. Never mind that I had wasted a tank of gas getting to court. The judge said, quote, everybody makes mistakes. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Well, at least I could assure myself that Judge Torres...
Was the judge going to make sure that the state compensated him for all the time and money and energy that he expended on being there?
Well, we'll see what they're going to make an offer to him here in a moment, and we'll see if you consider this compensation.
Okay.
He says, well, at least I could assure myself that Judge Torhost wasn't going to operate as an authoritarian theocrat who assumes the state is always right. I politely pointed out the great cost to myself that the proceedings, the first pretrial meeting, the filing fee for justice, and that day's blunder had cost me. The prosecutor then said, quote, we offer Jacob the ability to plead guilty to a lesser charge of a broken speedometer, unquote, a charge that represents untruth as well as the carrot side of the equation. No penalty points against my driving record, and thus no coercively jacked up insurance fees and a lesser fine. Quote, and he refused, although the state still has the offer open. So there you go, Mark. That's their offer. They give him a lesser charge as long as he pleads guilty, and then they'll make it.
It just seems wrong to allow somebody to plead to a broken speedometer when, in fact, they don't have a broken speedometer. There's no evidence for this. How is the state going to find, how is the judge going to find somebody guilty, even if they plead to it, of having a broken speedometer?
Well, no evidence will be presented, so therefore the judge doesn't have to have any qualms.
Well, he knows it's not true.
How do you know that?
I don't know.
He hasn't inspected the speedometer, and no one has presented him with any evidence.
There's been no evidence that there is a broken
speedometer.
All
he knows is that this guy's been charged with a broken speedometer. This is presuming he took the deal, which he didn't. He's been charged with a broken speedometer and has pled guilty. There is no trial, and therefore no need for evidence. So it need not be the judge's concern at that point. He's not there for justice, Mark. He's there to collect some cash for the state.
Right.
Continuing the story. So again, they offered him this deal. Twice after that, they continued to offer me the carrot. If I would only crawl to them on my belly, dishonestly admitting guilt. And here I thought the courtroom was a place where the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, was to be told. Unfortunately for them, I'm an American citizen. I'm not a peasant nor a serf, and I don't bow down to titles of nobility. You see, if I were to simply pay them the fine or to appear at a juryless bench trial, I would be admitting unearned guilt. I would be paying them to establish a racket that threatens people with great punishments if they refuse to pay lesser punishments, a.k.a. protection money. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that I'm not likely to win a jury trial against our out-of-control and blatantly unconstitutional court system, but I sure won't be part of the reason that it flies further and further outside of the legal standards that were won so hard by the Levelers, Thomas Jefferson, and the other Founding Fathers. That refusal to cave in meant I was shortly to see the stick side of the carrot and stick equation. You see, I am an informed citizen. I know that the judge has no legal authority to command the jury, even though they regularly do so. We'll talk more about this and finish his story in moments. 800-259-9231. He knows the jury represents the fourth branch of government. And we'll talk a little more about that. Take your calls about whatever's on your mind at 800-259-9231. What happens when you wear a fully informed jury association T-shirt into a courtroom? We know judges don't like this sort of thing. We'll find out what happens.
Trouble.
This is Free Talk Live.
Looking for a new cooling system? Enjoy comfort this summer season with a new Carrier or Kenmore system from a name you can trust. With unbeatable pricing, year-round maintenance and repair, plus our satisfaction guarantee, it's time you called Sears at 1-800-241-0746 for a free in-home consultation. Ask about our special financing terms. A new, more efficient system can keep your family comfortable year-round and may help you save money on high energy costs. You can count on Sears for the quality materials and installation you have come to expect for over 100 years. Call now for your free in-home consultation. Offer ends 9/30/07, subject to applicant creditworthiness. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. Licensing information available upon request. Energy efficiency may vary depending on your home and climate. Call now for your new cooling system from Sears and ask about our special financing terms. Call 1-800-241-0746. That's 1-800-241-0746.
People who use Cartabite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartabite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartabite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartabite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well thought out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Do you suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, unbalanced cholesterol, or clogged arteries? Do you want to live free of sickness, pain, and fear with increased vitality? Today, you're going to learn about an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and improved circulation. It's called Heart and Body Extract, and it's going to change your life. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, was astonished by how quickly the product worked for her.
Within 2 weeks of using the formula, my blood pressure went from 160 over 110 to 120 over 70. Typically, a person will notice a difference within the first bottle.
So, exactly how does Heart and Body Extract work?
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself.
Here are just a few of the benefits associated with Heart and Body Extract. Angina is gone in just a few days. Blood pressure goes back to normal, and irregular heartbeat returns to normal. Heart and Body Extract works by making sure your body is in balance. Doctors who've tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results. Dr. Mark Goodman talks about his experience with the product.
My experience has been tremendous. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Dr. Shreve also witnessed the positive effects with his patients.
This is the most encouraging development that I think that I have seen in a long while. In dealing with these patients who are so ill, I am just amazed.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2 month supply, call now toll free at 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online at hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Talk Live, it's your show. You can take control of the airwaves via the toll-free number, 1-800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line, it's Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark.
And you can join us online, freetalklive.com. It's the place to go. The features on the site for free. So enjoy those on us, including the archives, an entire year's worth of the show. Front page of the website for your download and convenience. Go and grab them up on us. That's freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project, your only choice for more personal freedom, smaller, less intrusive government. To learn more about joining the Second American Revolution, go to freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org.
Speaking of the Free State Project, I'm going to have to remember to get to this, but this is, by the way, our first year anniversary in New Hampshire, and I think that we should have a little retrospective, but we'll hold off on that.
Okay.
Because we're talking about jury nullification at this point, and we're telling a story from a gentleman who emailed where he was talking about how when he went into court one day to fight his speeding ticket that he had arranged a jury trial for, and then he came into court wearing a fully informed jury association yellow, bright yellow T-shirt.
Yeah, go get him.
And I just think that's brilliant. And yeah. So he came in, and they just so happened to decide that, well, we have to inform you that we made a mistake and that they don't have the jury ready, so we'll just have to reschedule this whole trial thing.
Mm.
So he tried to get the judge to throw the case out, and the judge refused to do that. And the prosecutor said, look, we tried to give the opportunity to plead down to a charge of a broken speedometer, which, of course, he didn't actually have a broken speedometer, but that we all know what the point of the system is. The point of the justice system today is to move as many people through, sort of like cattle, like sheep, move them through the system, get them to plea out so they don't actually take anything to trial, so they don't actually, the government doesn't actually have to prove anything that it claims. That's what the system's all about, is moving you in, extracting money from you, and moving you along with your life. He didn't want to do that. He wanted the trial, like he's been promised by the U.S. Constitution. And this guy knows his rights. He says, I am an informed citizen. I know the judge has no legal authority to command the jury, even though they regularly do so. I know the jury represents the fourth branch of government and is the only true legal check on rampant government power, since the jury aren't paid agents of the state, as the judge, the prosecutors, and the police are. It was my fully informed jury association T-shirt that informed them of my views. After I'd refused their two additional offers of a reduced sentence if I would only sell them my human dignity for a mildly less terrible punishment, the prosecutor called my shirt to the judge's attention. He said something close to these words, quote, Your Honor, I'd like to call your attention to Jacob's shirt. There, by the way, happened to be no court reporter present, as such thuggery is best done far away from disinfecting sunlight. After a query from the judge, the prosecutor told me to turn around and show the judge the back of my shirt. I did so. The judge asked me to read what the shirt said. I read it to him. The shirt says, in 3-inch-high letters, Fully Informed Juror, and under that, Fully Informed Jury Association. The judge then threw a temper tantrum and threatened me with a contempt of court citation, which he said carried a $1,000 fine and prison. Oh, y'all right there, buddy? I know, it's shocking. Contempt of court just shocked the Coca-Cola right through his nose there.
Oh, anyway, man, I hate when that happens.
He threatened me with a contempt of court citation, which he said carried a $1,000 fine and prison time. The audacity. A T-shirt that says that tells the truth about the common law relationship between judges and juries? Why would that make any honorable judge angry? It certainly wasn't half as evil as his repeated appeals to brute force and the might makes right argument implicit in the contempt of court threats. I asked the judge if I could ask him a question, and then asked, Are there defendants who wear T-shirts to court who are not sentenced with contempt of court? He said, There are defendants in criminal cases. You're a blah, 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 mumbo-jumbo jargon designed to confuse civil case. Since you're your own counsel, we expect you to uphold the decorum of the court. Yeah, right. This court of lies and bullying needs to uphold its high standards of royal decorum. I guess what the judge was saying was true, it meant the only reason the two kids wearing Metallica T-shirts didn't need to worry was that they had paid one of the judge's friends to represent them, and hence had no chance of a plea to nullify any bad laws they were possibly being victimized by. It's not that my T-shirt happened to have the truth on it. No, that's not it at all. After all, why would the judge be afraid of letting the jury know that they actually have more power than he does, and can, in fact, ignore his commands to, quote, interpret the law as he gives it to them, unquote? We've come a long way since Alexander Hamilton acquitted John Peter Zenger of the charges of slandering King George's royal governor in 1733. He used a jury nullification argument to do so, an argument that the typical power-lusting judge in any of today's American courtrooms will stop at nothing to suppress, obfuscate, and shout down with threats of brute force. My battle might be uphill, but I think it's a good thing that there are people like myself out there online at FIJA.org, that's the Fully Informed Jury Association, who have the conviction to stand up for the principles our country was founded on. So I don't know what the rest of that story is, because the story ends there, but I do have the guy's email address, so I could probably follow up with him on that. Nonetheless, very interesting development in the world of jury nullification, and something that you should consider for yourself, especially if you're going to be on a jury. And Wayne, he said in this in his email here that he has more power than the judge. And during the break, you handed me a neat little booklet that actually made that same claim. When he says that, do you know what that means?
Well, it means that the jury has the power to rule on both the fairness of the validity of the law as well as the facts in the case.
Which the judge doesn't have the ability to do that.
I guess not, right. So even though somebody may have violated a law, let's say, and it was clear they did, the jury can say, well, that law is unconstitutional, that law is unfair, unjust, and they can acquit for that reason.
Exactly. And the judges do anything they can to prevent the jurors from coming across that information.
Right. They absolutely do not want you to have that information.
They have no problem with stooping to threats of violence, as they did in this particular case. You're going to go to a jail cell if you keep wearing that shirt in my courtroom. Well, look, I'm going to wear what I'm going to wear, and you're either going to let me defend myself or not. I mean, how's this? Are you going to let me defend myself or not, right? Apparently not.
Mm.
you know, I just imagine a judge listening to the show right now and fuming that we would even tell anybody.
Well,
because this used to be how it was in America,
right,
up until like the 30s, 40s, 50s, thereabouts.
It was fairly well known.
And now they'll say anything against it.
That's right. They don't teach it in the schools either. And, you know, a lot of the judges who might be listening also might be really angry if we told them a little secret about not wearing trousers under the robe, too. That's a way not to be nervous when you go in court. Just remember that the judge is not wearing trousers under his robe.
How many of them do that?
I don't know, but I'm sure some do.
Make an interesting study.
Yeah.
So they do like to threaten people. I don't know if they actually ever go through. I don't know if they've ever followed through on their threats to slap somebody with a contempt of court fine or citation. I've certainly heard of it being threatened before. The FIJA website even mentions that that's a very real possibility if you insist on continuing to bring up jury nullification in a courtroom. But I don't know if it's ever actually happened. So if you know of a story, I would love to hear from you at 800-259-9231. You can bring up whatever you want. In fact, here's a quick email from Nathan. He says, I was just watching Schindler's List, and I noticed how similar Nazi Germany and today's illegal immigration climate is. And he gives you a few comparisons here, which I find awfully illuminating. In Germany, only the useful Jews were considered worthy of being in Germany.
Really?
In America?
In America, they only want people who are supposedly educated.
Right.
You know, have a certain level of education to come into the country. It's okay to bring them in. Apparently, it's okay to take Americans' jobs from educated people, but it's not okay to take Americans' jobs away from uneducated people.
In America, only the useful Mexicans are considered worthy of being in America. If Jews weren't useful, they weren't given their proper papers. If Mexicans aren't useful, they aren't given proper papers. In Germany, if Jews were in the country without proper papers, they were taken to concentration camps. In America, if Mexicans are in the country without proper papers, they're taken to jail. If Jews didn't want to go to the camps and they hid from the government, they were hunted down by special troops just for that purpose. If Mexicans don't want to go to jail and hide, then they're hunted down by special troops just for that purpose. We've read story after story of businesses being raided and people being separated from their families over this whole immigration thing. He's got a couple more examples. We'll share those with you and take your calls about whatever you want to talk about. 800-259-9231. And then, since we're talking about immigration, we'll talk about what's happening to all those farm jobs. Guess where they're going now? It's Free Talk Live.
There are many paths you can take in the pursuit of liberty. The fastest avenue to real political change is being paved by the Republican Liberty Caucus. Join Representatives Ron Paul, Jeff Flake, and dozens of state legislators in advancing the ideals of individual rights, limited government, and private enterprise within the GOP. The Republican Liberty Caucus, online at rlc.org. That's rlc.org. Your path to liberty.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and the poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now, it's cancer's turn to die with LaceMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasemedinc.com. Call 702-953-0267.
Musicians are writing songs in his honor.
A nation really needs Ron Paul.
Citizens create their own videos about him.
Hi, Internet. My name is Rachel, and I'm a Ron Paul junkie.
They chant his name in the streets.
Ron Paul for president!
The man so loved by the people that he has sparked an electoral American revolution has now inspired a radio program dedicated to his campaign for the presidency of the United States. I'm Stephen Vincent, and I host Ron Paul Radio on GCN, Mondays through Fridays, from 3 to 4 Pacific, 5 to 6 Central, and 6 to 7 Eastern. Ron Paul Radio is the live voice of the freedom message. If you want to learn more about Ron Paul, and if you want to support his bid for the White House, tune in and call in to Ron Paul Radio.
Babies spend up to 15 hours a day sleeping and playing on a crib mattress. Standard baby mattresses are suspected of containing potentially harmful chemicals. The primary ingredient in most mattresses is polyurethane foam, a highly flammable petroleum product. At Naturepedic, we believe that your baby's health and safety are not negotiable. An organic cotton mattress is the first step toward a healthy and natural crib environment. At Naturepedic, the no-compromise organic baby crib mattress features organic cotton filling and a waterproof surface so pure that it meets food contact standards. A Naturepedic mattress provides a healthy sleep environment for your baby and a peace of mind for you. Go to naturepedic.com. That's naturepedic.com. Or call 1-800-91-PEDIC. That's 1-800-91-PEDIC. Call today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can bring up whatever you want. The toll-free number is 800-259-9231, and it's Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231. Join us online. FreeTalkLive.com is the place to go. The features on the site, we give them away. You like the show, you want to help support Free Talk Live, then become an amplifier, as have done hundreds of our listeners, for as little as $3 a month. It's totally voluntary. So you can enjoy the website to your heart's content for free, and then when you decide you're ready, sign up for AMP. Go to amp.freetalklive.com. Stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote, and the idea is a simple one. You send in $3 a month, we take it in and turn it around into to advertising the show, to get on more radio stations across the country. In fact, I don't think I can quite yet announce this because we have a new policy of not announcing until the station's actually on board with us, but there's a new weekday affiliate coming soon in Michigan.
I'm very excited.
There aren't very many places left in Michigan for us to cover because we have a lot of Michigan stations, believe it or not.
Free Talk Live all over Michigan.
This is one of the most populous areas of Michigan, and so we're pretty excited about that. Also looking at a station in Texas that is sampling the show right now. I can't officially say anything to them yet either, so things are going well.
They're airing the show.
It's okay. A sample sort of thing. There's nothing signed yet. So until I get that,
I don't even know about this.
Until I have that signature, I can't say anything.
I really don't like the idea that I don't know about this.
All of this is happening because of our Free Talk Live amplifiers. If it weren't for our amplifiers, we would not be as effective reaching out to radio stations and getting on more stations and spreading the message of freedom. So if that's valuable to you, and you want to get some perks like the amp-only call-in lines, which weren't working very, very well earlier, but I think are working well now, as well as the, let's see, amp-only forum, amp-only chat room. All the details are at amp.freetalklive.com. That's amp.freetalklive.com. All right, a couple more interesting comparisons between the Jews in Nazi Germany and the Mexican illegals in America today. Just some interesting parallels here. Nathan emails in. He says if the Jews didn't want to go to the camps and they hid from the special troopers, then they were hunted down by special troops just for that purpose. If Mexicans don't want to go to jail and they hide, they're hunted down by special troops just for that purpose. Here in America, we call them ICE, Immigrations and Customs Enforcement.
In Germany, they were the Gestapo.
And in America, what they're doing today is they're raiding businesses. There's no notice. They just kick in the door just like they would in your house if they were looking for drugs, except now they're looking for people. And they shake down the business. They hold everybody there. They try to identify them. If they can't identify them, they get arrested.
And then they presumably get thrown in a jail cell and end up being deported. So for now, they're not being locked into concentration camps. That's not happening quite yet. And maybe that won't ever happen. But nonetheless, the similarities here are shocking. If the Jews run from the troops, they were shot down as they ran. If Mexicans run from the troops, they're shot down, sometimes with rubber bullets, sometimes real ones. If people tried to help the Jews by hiding or hiring them, they were put in the camps too. If people try to help the Mexicans by hiding or hiring them, they are put in jail as well. Amazing corollary, isn't it? Asks Nathan. Thanks for the email, Nathan. We appreciate it. Some food for thought. And we'll talk a little bit more about immigration here tonight, because the word is that because of all of this enforcement, because of the ICE people cracking down on business owners, that business owners have decided to take some drastic measures, meaning leave the country. So we'll talk about that. But first, your calls. Let's go to Scott in Georgia. Scott, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello. Scott in Georgia. Hello there.
Hi, this is Scott Walsh calling from Bethlehem, Georgia.
Congratulations, Scott. What's on your mind?
Well, Ian and Mark, I just wanted to take this opportunity on your show to announce that I'm officially running for mayor of this little city of Bethlehem, Georgia.
That's great. How many people live in your little city?
Oh, not very many. We have a population that's probably around 1,500, maybe 2,000 people.
Now, what is it that defines a city versus a town? Because here where we live, there's 25,000 people, and I would say, and they call them, here they call it the city of Keene in New Hampshire, and it seems like it just barely qualifies as a city. It has all the accoutrements, the things that you need as far as the Walmarts and the Home Depots and all the things that make life comfy. So it's city-like, but it's also really, really small. I mean, 1,000 people or 2,000 people, how could that even be considered a city? Do you know why they do that?
Well, Bethlehem has been a city for about 100 years. It was originally established many, many years ago. Of course, there was a church involved. And, we have city limits. We're within the county of Barrow County. And
now, are you surrounded by towns, or do they call everything a city in Georgia?
Well, there's a lot of small cities, you know. We have the city of Auburn, city of Winder, city of Braselton.
Yeah, it must just be some sort of governmental designation. There's got to be some, maybe the rules are different based on the state that you're in. And I know that they have this incorporation process. Cities and towns love to brag about when they were incorporated, which just means paperwork was filed somewhere. So anyway, that's just an aside. What are going to be the main issues of your campaign for mayor?
Well, I'm just mainly trying to spread the message of freedom, and also, somebody has to manage this little city, and I'm not really sure why, but I decided to step forward and throw my name into the ring. And
Might I make a suggestion for your campaign?
Oh, certainly.
Head over to centerforsmallgovernment.com. That's, or maybe it's the, no, it's centerforsmallgovernment.com, and look for the Small Government Pledge. As a candidate for public office, you can take a pledge that essentially says, I mean, there's a much longer version, but the short version of it is that I will vote small government every issue, every time, no exceptions, no excuses. And you can sign that pledge as a candidate, and then you can use that as something to differentiate yourself from the competition.
Brilliant.
Because that's what we're doing here in Keene. We've got some people that are running for office here in Keene. I'm calling every single one of them and asking them to sign this pledge. And whoever signs the pledge will get promotion. We'll promote them on freekeen.com, for instance. And whoever's not going to sign the pledge will obviously be outed as somebody who's not willing to commit to smaller government. So by signing something like that, it really shows the voters, and I'm sure in Georgia there's plenty of small government-minded people there, it'll really show the voters that you're somebody worth voting for, somebody worth turning out for, because that's one of the real tricks to running a local campaign is actually getting people to care and bother to show up and vote. So
that's right.
Good luck, and let us know if you encounter any trouble or any interesting stories on your campaign trail. And thanks for the call, Scott. We appreciate it. 800-259-9231. So it'll be interesting to see how many of the candidates do actually want to sign this small government pledge. And the pledge is actually pretty brilliant. I'll go ahead and read the entire thing, because it really is pretty cool. It says, I will actively and ambitiously initiate and support actions to make government small. Specifically, I promise, 1, to sponsor, advance, and vote for bills and legislation to shrink the size, power, spending, taxes, debt, and liability of today's big government.
Boy, I sure like the sound of that one.
2, I will introduce, support, and vote only for government budgets that are smaller than this year's budget. 3, I will vote against every government budget that spends the same amount or more than this year's budget, which means you have to get in there and actively work to reduce the size of government. 4, I will introduce and vote for legislation that repeals or reduces today's big government programs. 5, I will vote against all new or expanded government programs, all tax increases, and any new debt. 6, I will vote against any bill that I have not read and thought through. 7, no communication from me, my representatives, or my staff will contradict or violate the small government pledge for candidates. 8, I will endorse and support only candidates who take the small government pledge or whose promises and actions are consistent with the small government pledge. I will never support directly or indirectly a big government candidate, politician, or proposal. And finally, 9, I will be accountable to voters. Upon request, I will make public every vote that I cast while in office. And, I mean, that's a brilliant, brilliant pledge.
Yeah, it's good. I like the first part, and after that it just gets better.
Yeah, it really nails it down. It really makes it so they can't squirm, they can't break out of that. I mean, if they violate the pledge, then, well, they violated the pledge, and there's nothing you can really do about that.
But they have pledged and they have violated.
Right, except you can tout that from the rooftops. You can say, oh, so-and-so signed this pledge, and now he's violated it. We're never going to support you again in the future. So, you know, people... I think this could really be a motivator for people that have been completely burned out on local politics, for people that think that all they ever have to choose to vote for is big government politician A versus big government politician B. And who wants to waste their time driving to a polling location just to cast a vote for the lesser of two evils,
right,
if you can even determine which one's the lesser?
The burnout's a sad thing, and I'm really glad that Scott's running for mayor in Bethlehem, Georgia, and I hope that more libertarians step up and do that. I happen to know that Scott is, in fact, a libertarian. He's used that term to describe himself. So good for you and everybody else out there. You know, this is what you got to do.
Again, their website is centerforsmallgovernment.com. They've got a great little newsletter that you can subscribe to as well. But what an easy way to really show the rest of the voters and the media that you are something different. Great way to differentiate yourself. Hour 2 is on the way. Immigration and, let's see, lots of other stuff to talk about. You can take control and bring up anything. Carl in Montreal and your calls as well. It's Free Talk Live. Liberty, self-ownership, the nature of government, libertarianism. What do these things mean? If you, or perhaps somebody you know, needs a primer on some of the subjects we talk about on Free Talk Live, you should check out the Liberty Radio Underground. It's an elementary introduction to libertarianism, and each show concisely handles a single topic in under 10 minutes. It's great for someone new to Liberty, and it's free. Go to LibertyRadioUnderground.com today and grab an episode, LibertyRadioUnderground.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.